As you turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 21, Luke, the 21st chapter, as you know that we are in a series of messages on last day events, the signs of the second coming of Jesus Christ. And possibly some of you are thinking, Pastor Ken, the title of your series, Will the Stars Fall Again? And some of you may be thinking, signs of the time, signs of the time. Well, that's Matthew chapter 24. And the ones when I think of the signs of the times, maybe you're thinking, well, verses 5 through 8. For many will come in my name and say that I am Christ and deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled. These things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places. For all of these are like a mother's birth pain. And this is what it's going to be like. We think in our minds, this is what it's going to be like just before Jesus comes. And exactly that's what's happening. We're living the last days of Earth's history, are we not? Indeed, as I think of Daniel 2's image, friends, we're living in the toenails of time. But maybe some of you, as you listen to the message that I shared with you the last time I preached, you're thinking, Pastor Ken, I have never heard about the earth being bombarded by heavenly bodies. Will the stars fall again? Will the stars really fall again? Well, you've turned to your Bibles, to Luke chapter 21. Take a look with me, verses 25 and 26. And there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and expectation of those things which are coming upon the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. I want to invite you also to turn with me now to Matthew chapter 24, the signs chapter, Matthew the 24th chapter. And as you're turning there, I want to ask you a question. Either this prediction that Jesus gave right here in Luke chapter 21 is right or it's not. Either this prediction that Jesus is giving us here is referring to an event that has already happened, or it's referring to a series of last day events that are yet future. Either this prediction that Jesus has given to us right here in Luke chapter 21 is in reference to large hailstones that are going to fall upon this earth. And we read about it in the seventh plague of Revelation chapter 16 and verse 21, and that takes place at the very time when our Lord Jesus comes. Or it's a heavenly bodies that like an asteroid or a comet or a meteorite hits our planet Earth before probation closes and after probation closes. I'll let you decide. But I would like to take a moment with you and let's review some of the things that we have learned thus far. I didn't preach last Sabbath, as you know, and I think it'd be well to review some of the things that we learned the last time I preached. You've turned in your Bibles to Matthew, the 24th chapter, and we'll notice there that Jesus, among the many predictions he made, in verse 29, he makes this prediction. Immediately after the tribulation of those days. In other words, after the 1260-year period of Bible prophecy, known as the Dark Ages, after those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. How many predictions did Jesus make here in verse 29? How many? Three predictions. Will the stars fall again? Well, as you notice here, let's take a little bit of view again. First of all, he predicted the dark day would occur, and it did on May 19, 1780. And then secondly, he predicted the falling of the stars. And they did fall on November 13, 1833. But it's that third prediction that we have somehow not noticed that it's there. Or at least when we read it, we think, well, it's a summary of what's already been said. But the truth is, this third prediction is separate from the dark day of 1780. It is separate from the falling of the stars in 1833. In fact, the Luke's Gospel of Luke chapter 21 describes this third prediction that is yet future and describes it in so much detail, much more detail than any of the other Gospels. And we learned in that message that when the powers of heaven fall, that when they fall, when they shake from the heavens and they fall on this planet Earth, that it will be unlike anything that happened in 1780 and 1833, unlike anything that happened then. The entire human race will respond with anguish, the Bible says. It will hurt a lot. And then the Bible says, with perplexity. In other words, the whole world will say, What are we going to do now? What are we going to do now? And then we note it after going to the Scriptures, the Word of God. We ask some questions to astronomers and science. And we ask questions like this. What would happen if heavenly bodies did shake and hit this planet Earth? What would really happen? If, say, for example, an asteroid or a comet or a meteorite impacted this Earth, would such a hit really cause terror and distress and anguish and perplexity like Jesus describes here in Luke chapter 21, verses 25 and 26? And we discovered that without question, that's exactly what could happen. And so history proves that there was a dark day. History proves that the stars fell, just as Jesus predicted, just as John in Revelation predicted. But the Bible also says and tells us that the stars will fall again. And science confirms this. Astronomy confirms that. The powers of heaven will be shaken and impact this earth just before our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. Wow, what a sign of the times. Now listen carefully. I wonder, are there any other reliable sources? This is pretty serious, don't you think? This is something that we are to look forward to and be aware of, that it's coming. Are there any other reliable sources? We've gone to the Bible, the final authority. We've gone to and noticed what astronomers and scientists have said, but are there any other reliable sources? I realize that many, many people are not even aware of this, not even understanding this. In fact, many Christians, including Seventh-day Adventist Christians, have not really understood this. Now listen carefully, friends. If we're ignorant of these things, if we're ignorant of these things, a woman by the name of Ellen G. White was not. As Seventh-day Adventist Christians, we believe that God inspired Ellen White, that she had the gift of prophecy. However, we do not believe that her writings are another Bible. Seventh-day Adventists do not have another Bible. The Bible you have in your hand and I have my hand is the Bible, the authority, the guide of our lives. And Ellen White would agree with that. But believe it or not, what God gave her confirms the truthfulness of the authoritative Word of God. And including in regards to this Bible prophecy that Jesus gave here in Luke chapter 21, verses 25 and 26. And today I want to share with you several prophetic statements from Ellen White on this subject. Now those of you who have been so faithful in coming all these years as I've pastored this church, and I've stood before you, whether it be the pulpit or right here in front of you, you know when I preach, I use the Word of God, the Bible, as the authority and guide. And I wanted to continue to do that. However, today we're going to refer to several statements that Ellen White has made. And my reason for that is because I believe that as we've understood the Bible, that we need other sources that would help us to affirm what the Scriptures have already said. And I want you to know that the writings of Ellen White affirm, writings of Ellen White confirm what the Scriptures already say. And as Adventist Christians, we believe that God has given to her a special message that you and I could help. It help us to appreciate the authority and the beauty and the awesomeness of God's Word. And so we will refer to her writings a lot today. And so I want to ask this question. Ellen White, what did God show you? Will the stars fall again? Will they be used of God as warning judgments and as punishing judgments before probation closes and after probation closes? What did God show you? Many of us, as Adventists, we're acquainted with one of the many books that Ellen White has written. We especially are familiar with a book called The Great Controversy. You familiar with that book? If you haven't read it lately, read it again in the light of our times. The Great Controversy between Christ and Satan. And as you read that book, you will not see, you will not read that she describes that the stars will fall again. It's not there in The Great Controversy. You will read in The Great Controversy about the dark day. You'll read about the falling of the stars in the past. But you won't find there in The Great Controversy anything from Ellen White about the stars falling again. And the evidence is that after The Great Controversy was written, God gave Ellen White afterwards some more visions, some more inspired insights in regards to the stars falling again, after The Great Controversy had already been written. And so with this in mind, I'm going to be sharing with you some statements that some of you may have never heard before, or others of you have read them before, but I want to invite you to see them and maybe understand them in this context, okay? Listen as I read what God showed her, and you'll notice it there on the screen. The armory of heaven is open. All the universe of God and its equipments are ready. One word has judgment to speak, and there will be terrible representations upon the earth of the wrath of God. There will be voices and thunderings and lightnings and earthquakes and universal desolation. Every movement in the universe of heaven is to prepare the world for, what does it say? The Great Crisis. Now, this is found in Special Testimonies, Series A, page 38. And as we look at some of these statements that Ellen White wrote, I want to just speak to them so that you can better understand and appreciate what is being said here. And again, our objective in reading these statements is to affirm and confirm and verify what the authoritative Word of God already teaches. She writes here that God, as it were, has an armory. Now, when I read that word armory, I think of a storehouse. God has, as it were, a storehouse of weapons. And Ellen White says there, as you note that statement there, that the armory of heaven is open. And notice what the weapons are. The weapons that God's armory are, she names them voices, thunders, lightning, earthquakes. And she says that these weapons in the armory of heaven will cause universal desolation. Think of that word, universal desolation. Not this particular city over here, not this particular country over here, but the whole world will be aware of it and experience it. And notice what she calls these weapons. That is, from the armory of heaven, when they are put to use, when they will be used. She calls it the Great Crisis. The Great Crisis. Notice the last statement again. Every movement in the universe of heaven is to prepare the world for the Great Crisis. obviously the great crisis has not happened yet. And we're here, and I'm here today to prepare us and the world for the great crisis. So even from this first statement here, we learn that God's weapons, the destructive forces of nature, are going to be key elements in creating and bringing about the coming world crisis. Don't forget that. Now hold on, we're going to share with you more statements that speak about the day that you and I are living in, and also what is to come, what is yet future. But first I want to ask, what kind of destruction, what kind of, I should say, maybe disasters can we expect during this time as we are living today? And basically our answer is, as we go to the Word of God, we discover the very things that we are experiencing today are the things that are actually happening, that we're experiencing all around. Basically what we are experiencing right now. And yet the Bible says they will be in greater intensity as we draw closer to the end of time. You remember, we actually read it here a few moments again as I introduced my sermon. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 8. Jesus likens the signs of the last days to a mother's birth pains. And when a mother has birth pains, she knows that when she experiences those birth pains, that the sooner, the closer that she comes to the delivery of that little baby, the more intense and greater in magnitude will she experience those birth pains just before the baby is born. So it will be with God's signs just before he comes. God's signs will increase in their magnitude and their frequency. Well, notice the statement that Ellen White wrote about this. It's found in Maranatha, that's a morning watch book, on page 174. This is what she wrote. In the last scenes of this earth's history, war will rage. There will be pestilence, plague, and famine. The waters of the deep will overflow their boundaries. Property and life will be destroyed by fire and flood. Unquotes. Most of us, as we look at the first two sentences, we'll say, well, that's familiar. I can relate to that. War, pestilence, plague, and famine. Those are signs of the times that we're experiencing today. It's all around us. And we know, as we study the Word of God, and if you even take the time to study it out, these are increasing in their magnitude and frequency. But notice the last part of this prophetic statement. She writes that the waters of the deep will overflow their boundaries. Now that's interesting. The waters of the deep, that's the oceans, right? And will overflow their boundaries. What are the boundaries? That's the seacoast. The seacoast. Now, what do we call a disaster? And it is caused by the ocean overflowing its coastlines. What do we call that? Yeah, a tsunami or a tidal wave. Right. And so what Ellen White is implying here is that the waters of the deep will overflow their boundaries. Question, how is that going to happen? How is that going to happen? Well, with that in mind, I want to share with you another statement Ellen White writes. It's right in the context of Luke, the 21st chapter, verses 25 and 26. Notice what she says. First of all, she quotes, reading from third volume of the Selected Messages, page 417. First of all, she quotes Luke 21, verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity. Why? The sea and the waves roaring. She quotes this scripture, and then notice what she says. Yes, they, referring to the sea and the waves, shall pass their borders, and destruction will be in their track. Unquotes. And so Ellen White agrees with Jesus' awesome, unique prediction here in Luke chapter 21, that as a result of this powers from heaven, the powers of heaven being shaken and hitting the ocean, it will cause a destruction that is described in Luke chapter 21, verses 25 and 26. Now, with that picture in mind, the next statements that I want to share with you focus our attention upon God's judgments upon the cities. And both of these statements are found in a familiar book that you may have at home. It's a book of evangelism. And the first statement comes from page 27. Cities full of transgression and sinful in the extreme will be destroyed by earthquakes, by fire, and by what? By flood. Now the next statement, two of them, come from page 29. Let me read the first statement. The time is near when large cities will be swept away. Now, just picture that. What's going to happen in time? Large cities are going to be what? Swept away. Can you picture that? Can you imagine that? Can you fathom that? Notice the next statement on page 29. Oh, that God's people had a sense of the impending destruction of thousands of cities now almost given to idolatry. How many cities? Thousands of cities. Thousands of cities. Thousands. That's in the plural. That's at least 2,000, wouldn't you agree? 2,000 at least. Remember Hurricane Andrew? It struck the coast of Florida and Louisiana, and it destroyed at least one small town, hometown Florida. And if you go back there today, they're still trying to rebuild. Hurricane Katrina struck the coast of New Orleans, almost destroyed that whole city. And along the coast of Louisiana, many of the little towns along that way. The tsunami, some of you noted that tsunami of Southeast Asia, 2000. It destroyed cities that were along the coastline. But what kind, I repeat, what kind of disaster will it take to destroy at least 2,000 or more cities? That is literally mind-boggling. Probably Ellen White's most striking statement that describes the suddenness, underline that in your thoughts as we're listening to this message today, the suddenness of this coming judgment of God is found in a book on the parables of Jesus, Christ Object Lessons, page 412. And the paragraph is so long, I'm going to break it up into two parts. So, Christ Object Lessons, page 412, notice what she writes. It is in a crisis that character is revealed. You agree with that? My, have I seen that over and over again, and in my life included. When the earnest voice proclaimed at what time? Midnight. Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. And the sleeping virgins were aroused from their slumbers. It was seen who had made preparation for the event. Both parties were taken, what? Unawares. But one was prepared for the emergency, and the other was found without preparation. Now, Ellen White here is commenting on the parable of the 10 virgins. I love the parables of Jesus, as you know. And this one, she is focusing here on that area of awakening these virgins, waking them up. And these 10 virgins are not, they just don't naturally wake up, but they have to be aroused. And they are aroused by the midnight cry. That midnight cry alerts them that indeed the bridegroom was on his way. Now listen to this, friends. Listen carefully. That midnight cry precipitated a crisis among the virgins, right? In fact, half of them discovered they were unprepared. Unprepared for the arrival of the bridegroom. Catch the picture. Enter into reality. The midnight cry woke them up. It woke them up. Now, woke them up. Who's them? The virgins, the 10 virgins. And the 10 virgins represent who? The church, God's people. God's professed people. In America only? No, in the entire world. The midnight cry woke them up. And I would like to suggest that the midnight cry is the church's wake-up call. It is the church's wake-up call. And so the midnight cry is going to precipitate for God's people a crisis, just as it did the 10 virgins right there in this parable. Powerful parable. And I want you to notice what will be the nature of this wake-up call for God's people in our time. What it will be. Christ Object Lessons 4:12. Notice this statement, the first statement especially at the beginning. So now, repeat the word with me right at the first sentence here, a sudden and unlooked for calamity, something that brings the soul face to face with death, will show whether there is any real faith in the promises of God. It will show whether the soul is sustained by grace. Unquote. What kind of calamity will it take to wake up God's people? Not just in America, not just in Sutherland, friends, but the entire world in one time. What kind of calamity will it take to cause the nations of the world to be in a state of anguish and perplexity? Ellen White writes, right at the first, a sudden and unlooked for calamity. Question, did the dark day in 1780 and the falling of the stars in 1833 wake up God's people all over the world and bring anguish and perplexity, state of the mind on every across the nations of the world? The answer is no. In fact, if you were honestly to look at, consider the calamities, terrible calamities that we've had in the history of the world over the past 100 plus years, it hasn't still waken up the saints. And so what we have here somewhat, so whatever this calamity is, friends, it is yet future because God's people are still, many of them, much of them, are still asleep. And so in harmony with the Bible, Ellen White describes this world just before Jesus comes. And she also states that there will come a time, now this is important, a time when there will come a change in God's dealings, a change from what we know it. God's dealings with the world. And she identifies this change as a sudden and unlooked for calamity. And it will be like a thief in the night. A sudden and unlooked for calamity. Now, we've always had wars. We've always had famines and pestilence. And they are indeed increasing in their magnitude and in their frequency. But Luke chapter 21, verses 25 and 26, and the parable of the 10 virgins, they are clearly implying here that there's going to be a sudden change. A sudden change. Notice how Ellen White, in the book Fundamentals of Education, page 356 and 357, describes this sudden change. Notice this. Do you believe that the Lord is coming? And that the last great crisis is about to break upon the world? There will soon come a change in God's dealings. She says it right there. There's going to be a change. Now, the next statement, we know about this. The world in its perversity is being visited by casualties, by floods, storms, fires, earthquakes, famines, wars, and bloodshed. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power. But his forbearance will not always continue. Now, notice this statement. Who is prepared for the, repeat with me, the sudden change that will take place in God's dealings with sinful men? God's final judgments of warning the human race that it's their opportunity to repent, their opportunity to give their lives to Jesus Christ. And therefore, these judgments of warnings will begin before probation closes. Before probation closes. When what will happen in God's dealings with sinful man? There will be a sudden change. And she writes that. Ellen White speaks of that. And the Bible describes this sudden change. Luke chapter 21 and 21 verses 25 and 26. And there will be signs in the sun and the moon and in the stars, and in the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, and the sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them from fear and expectation of those things which are coming up on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. I propose, in the light of Scripture and the spirit of prophecy, that the powers of heaven that will be shaken will hit this planet Earth, and that indeed will be the sudden, unlooked-for calamity. For God's people, it will be the wake-up call of the midnight cry. And I want to share with you a few more statements that confirm the Bible's warning of this sudden change, his warning judgments. In fact, Ellen White made some statements that are even clearer. We read in the scriptures here in Luke chapter 21, it speaks about the heavenly bodies falling upon the earth and affecting the oceans and so on. But Ellen White identifies them as, she uses the terms of balls of fire. Balls of fire. And again, remember, she wrote these statements after the great controversy had already been written. Now, this is a powerful statement. The first one is found in Reflecting Christ. That's a devotional book today on page 143. Reflecting Christ in 1904, and this is what she wrote. Last night, a scene was presented before me. I may never feel free to reveal all of it, but I will reveal a little. It seemed that, what does it say? An immense ball of fire came down upon the world and crushed large houses. From place to place rose the cry, "The Lord has come! The Lord has come!" Many were unprepared to meet him, but few were saying. A few of them were saying, what were they saying? "Praise the Lord." Can you imagine that? Saying that. "Praise the Lord." "Why are you praising the Lord?" inquired those upon whom coming sudden destruction. "Because we now see what we have been looking for." If you believe these things were coming, why did you not tell us? Why did you not tell us of the terrible? Why did you not tell us? If you believe these things, why did you not tell us? Was a terrible response. "We did not know about these things. Why did you leave us in ignorance? Again and again, you have seen us. Why did you not become acquainted with us and tell us of the judgment to come and that we must serve God, lest we perish? Now we are lost." Unquotes. What an awesome statement. And the other statement, written in the book Evangelism on page 29, she wrote in the year 1906, similar in nature. Listen to this. "Last Friday morning, just before I awoke, a very impressive scene was presented before me. I seemed to wake from sleep, but was not in my home. From the windows, I could behold a terrible conflagration. Great balls of fire were falling upon houses, and from these balls, fiery arrows were flying in every direction. It was impossible to check the fires that were kindled, and many places were being destroyed. The terror of the people was indescribable. After a time, I woke and found myself at home." Unquotes. Ellen White had these two visions. One was in 1904, and the other was in 1906. And for the next 40 years, after she had these two statements, after she had these two visions and wrote of them, Adventist Christians, if you read the history of it, and I love Adventist history, they were scratching their heads and said, what was it that Ellen White saw? What did this vision mean? And as the years went by, 1945 came, and there was a Hiroshima in Nagasaki, and many Adventists thought, the bomb, the atomic bomb, that's it. And for the next 40 years, they thought they understood what Ellen White was speaking about in these visions. But time has gone by, and as Seventh-day Adventist Christians, we're understanding our Bible a little better. And since 1990 and to this very present time, the world has been increasingly aware of the dangers of human survival from comets and asteroids and meteorites. And we know a little bit more the difference between an atomic bomb explosion and the falling of asteroids, say, for example, from the sky. Now, when a bomb comes from a plane, it comes from the sky, you don't even see it until it explodes in the ground. Ellen White saw a fiery ball coming from the sky. And an atomic bomb becomes a fiery ball when it hits the earth, not when it's coming down from the sky. And so a fiery ball is exactly what you see when you observe a comet or a meteorite falling from the earth from outer space. And so the very language that Ellen White used to describe the falling of fireball is much more appropriate to that of a comet or a meteorite or an asteroid than that of an atomic explosion. And I find that what Ellen White was shown in vision clearly confirms the truthfulness of the authoritative Word of God. Notice the similarities. Number one, Jesus' falling stars and Ellen White's fireballs are both end time predictions. And number two, both predict fiery objects falling from the sky. Number three, in both cases, the fiery objects could be fulfilled by comets, asteroids, or a meteorite. And both predict that these falling objects will cause terror among the people. And lastly, number five, both predict that God's people will what? Rejoice over these signs. As I prepare these messages, I can imagine some of you are thinking, well, Pastor Ken, should we really be anticipating this? Should we really be looking forward to this? These signs? And besides, should we as Seventh-day Adventist Christians be in the business of speculating about such things as fireballs in the future? And yet, I read, and you read, right here from the Spirit of Prophecy, the writings of Ellen White. It's found in Reflecting Christ, page 143. When God's people saw those fireballs, they said, what did they say? Praise the Lord! They said, praise the Lord! And when the people were asking them, why are you praising the Lord? What did they say? Because we now see what we have been looking for. What we've been looking for. Far from being too speculative, Ellen White suggests that God's people should be looking for these balls of fire. God's people ought to be looking for the stars to fall again. And I personally believe in this vision that Ellen White had. I believe it's true, in harmony with the Scriptures. And yet the question is here, where did the people in this vision that Ellen White had get the idea that they should be looking for these fiery balls, the stars to fall again? Where did they get the idea? First of all, I would like to suggest from the Word of God, the Bible, and secondly, from the writings of Ellen White herself, that verify it. I am convicted that it is my God-given responsibility to share with you the future warnings of God's judgments so that when they do take place, when they do happen, you and I will be rejoicing. Amen? Amen. And there will be signs in the sun and the moon and in the stars, and on the earth distress of nations with perplexity, and the sea, the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heaven will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming to the cloud with power and great glory. And I love this next verse. Verse 28 of Luke chapter 21. Now when these things begin to come to pass, lift up your heads and know that your redemption draweth nigh. You believe Jesus is coming again? Not only is he coming again, friends, he needs to come again. Let's pray. Father in heaven, this world is in a real mess. And you told us that things would get worse before they get better. And we see, Lord, from your word that truly that will be the case. But Lord, help us to keep holding on to the right hand of your righteousness. Help us to keep looking up to you by faith, holding on, knowing that you will see us through. Thank you, Father, for these warnings. Thank you that we can keep our eyes looking, waiting, longing for these signs to happen, so that we too can rejoice and say, praise the Lord. But Lord, you've placed upon our hearts a burden. As we've been learning to be a better disciple, Lord, you have given us a responsibility to not only uplift Jesus, our Savior and our Lord, to the world, but to give a warning message that you are coming soon. Help us to fulfill our responsibility responsibly. Go with us now. Help us to keep looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our salvation. In Jesus' name.